Clouds of sand billow across a vast red desert. An alien city sprawls over the dunes, bleached in the acidic light of a distant sun. Bassan, the capital city of Adari. Seen from a distance, a colonial military shuttle descends into the city depths. Undetected, a reptilian alien drops to a rooftop and produces a small detonator from his dusty coat. His scaly lips curl back in a wicked grin. Explosions erupt throughout the city, decimating its ancient skyline. Smoke blooms from the devastation. Rubble falls in an ancient Hokari temple.
That's a negative, Station Command. We'll have to find another way out. Come on, help me get him up.
Let's go, Senator.
Commander Stracker Tighe and a young colonial soldier help an elderly Hokari statesman to his feet in a dim temple chamber.
The colony has brought a storm to Bassan.
Still no response from Captain Landris, sir.
Okay. Try to link back up with Takari squad. Take back the shipyard if we have to.
Commander Tighe, we should return for the others.
I'm sorry, Senator, but it's imperative that we get you back alive and out of the city. We're taking you back to our station.
The others may be in danger. Please, the Council!
Senator, without you, there is no Council. Without you, there will be no peace in the frontier, so let's not waste time with these possibilities. The Hokari Empire will never be reunified without you.
The elder Hokari studies the officer, tusked face tight with worry.
Then, let us be gone.
Commander!
The two soldiers whip around, pulse rifles at the ready.
What was it?
Off-worlder, sir. Maybe it's Iridian.
Tighe glares down the barrel of his rifle into the murky shadows.
A demon. From the beyond all.
Tighe frowns.
Come on, we need to move now.
Two ornate knives fly past, striking both colonial soldiers. Tighe spins on his heel, shoving the senator to the ground. The young soldier collapses, a knife protruding from his throat. A four-armed reptilian alien stands over the young soldier's body, tail whipping through the air behind him. The Zeridian, Dorgo Conadarian.
You're making a mistake, bounty hunter.
The Zeridian grins. Tighe fires his rifle, but Dorgo spits a glob of acid at him, melting the weapon in his hands.
Run, Senator!
Tighe swings his fist at Dorgo, but the assassin is too fast. Dorgo swings his tail. The colonial's helmet clatters away, revealing an insectoid head. With an alien fluidity, Dorgo draws his knife from the dead soldier and climbs up the wall after the senator. Dorgo pounces onto the elder Hokari, pinning him to the ground. He smiles, bearing a mouthful of razor-sharp teeth. Tighe jumps to his feet and draws his pulse pistol. He shoots the knife out of Dorgo's hand. The Zeridian glares back over his shoulder.
We had a deal, Tighe!
Get away from him, Dorgo.
Dorgo raises his hands reluctantly and steps back.
Kill him, Commander!
Shut your grecking alien mouth.
Tighe keeps his pistol trained on Dorgo.
Stalay grows tedious, Tighe.
The senator looks up at Tighe, his face searching.
Commander, please, I do not understand.
Tig turns his pistol on the senator.
Come on!
The Holkari slumps to the ground, tusks scraping against the stone floor. Dorgo stares blankly at the senator's limp body.
Let's just dispense with the pretense, bounty hunter.
Tig, we had a deal. You need me alive. But John just needed to know if you could be trusted.
The Colonial rests the barrel of his pulse pistol against the back of Dorgo's head.
I don't work for Vedran.
It doesn't matter. Vedran owns the frontier.
The frontier. Vedran's operations in the uncivilized territories are coming to a swift end. And you know who I answer to.
Dorgo swallows hard.
Yes.
And you are loyal to the Queen and colony, aren't you, Dorgo?
He looks down at the senator's body. Blood trickles from the pulse blast through its forehead.
Yes.
Behind him, Tig smiles.
Good. That's very good, Dorgo. Do your job. Do it well. And you'll be rewarded.
Starkall, Book 1, Chapter 1, The Frontier. Against a dark canvas of twinkling stars, a swirling red planet turns. Idari, the second planet of the Gurlian system. A dense ring of asteroids envelops the planet. A large metal structure drifts into view. From high orbit, a colonial space station looms over Idari. The rings of the jump relay drift in close proximity, half eclipsed in the shadow of the station. In a windowed corridor aboard the station, a circular doorway slides open, and two colonial officers march through the portal. Lieutenant Serenus Kron and Deputy Chief Science Officer Ilona Zorin. Their faces are grim.
Seismic analysis shows 17 high explosive events. We've received disavowals from the Perillians, the Ataclan, the Gothrendi, the Trevorians, the Elmeroans, the Irileth, and the Vethril.
Good. That only narrows it down to the rest of the charted universe.
And the uncharted. We have to request reinforcements from the Tonkin base. We barely have enough personnel left to manage the station's operations. In the meantime, we can retrofit the shuttle squadron with the Rider module and plan a recovery operation for Captain Landris. And Commander Tonic.
Ilona turns to the lieutenant.
I think it's a pretty good plan.
No.
No, what? Kron.
No, we don't have time. We've got a lock on the captain's distress signal. Going planetside right now is our best bet of getting him back off-world alive.
We really can't spare the personnel for a mission like that. The smart move is to let Ryder run the operation. This is the exact kind of scenario we've been developing her for.
We used to run training ops like this all the time back at the Academy.
She grabs him.
This is not a Grekkan training exercise. I mean, what if it's the Holkari? We don't even know everything they're capable of.
Then we need to get planetside before we lose Captain Landris. Without him, we'll be losing all the progress we made on Idari. With the Holkari. With the rest of the Grekkan frontier.
Come on, Kron. Will you just think about this for a micrek? You could start a war with the Holkari Empire. Doesn't that concern you?
Can you even guarantee that the module will work?
The this would be the first test conducted outside the station. A demonstrably successful test would be good for the colony's mission here, and for our careers.
Shuttle bay to Lieutenant Kron.
Go ahead, Dredgen.
Shuttle squadron is prepped for deployment, sir.
I'm on my way. Kron out. You're only in command of the station until I get back.
Anything else, Lieutenant Kron?
Kron looks at her sideways, then walks away. Outside the station window, asteroids drift past. A sleekly modified transport ship passes through the field of rocky debris. It's the Berenian. Seen from the ship's dark cockpit, a massive asteroid passes in front of the Berenian, revealing a view of Adari through its frosted main window. From behind a distant cluster of asteroids emerges a small squadron of colonial military ships on course for atmospheric entry. A human hand reaches up from the pilot's seat. The pilot leans forward. The name tag on his flight suit reads, Osborne. He sets a cup of steaming liquid on the flight console.
Bereni and Ahadi, tracking 5 colonial gunships headed planetside bearing 224 Mark 6. Is the job done?
Osborne stares out the window. His cybernetic right eye lights up.
Bereni and Ahadi? Bereni and the Dorgo, come in.
Outside, the squadron of ships hits the planet's atmosphere, flaring ribbons of red and orange. He glances at the atmospheric fuel gauge. 19%. He pushes forward on the throttle. Clouds of red dust bloom over the high plateau of Adari, an endless stretch of brown and crimson stone. The asteroid ring arcs overhead and across the horizon. A sextet of dark oculi cover the upper half of an insectoid face. Lieutenant Serenus Kron, second officer of the 443rd Colonial Fleet Infantry, configures and loads his pulse rifle. A squad of colonial soldiers sits strapped to their seats in the cabin, each fully armored and armed with a pulse rifle.
Yes, sir.
Dillard here. Affirmative. Yes, ma'am. Lieutenant Kron, station command made contact with Commander Tighe. Senator Uthon is dead.
Kron nods grimly.
Any word from Captain Landris?
Negative, sir, but we have tracking on the Tremorian's distress signal.
Transmit the nav point to Commander Tighe. Direct him to rendezvous with us there.
Yes, sir.
He reaches for his helmet, then raises his rifle. The gunships fly across the desert, blowing up clouds of sand from the surface as they speed toward their destination. In the heart of the city, the Prime Courtyard lies in ruin. flaming debris and tortured scraps of metal litter the gathering place. The charred bodies of Hulkari civilians and colonial soldiers desecrate the plaza. From under a shifting pile of twisted metal debris, pieces of stone rubble roll off as a large metal sheet is lifted and laboriously flipped over. Hulking suit of mechanized armor stands, then vents pressure from a set of environmental canisters mounted on its back. The Trevorian soldier, Corvin. He scans the rooftops with his optical sensors. Corvin reaches down and delicately pulls the limp body of a colonial captain from the rubble. The faceplate of the colonial's helmet is cracked. It's Captain Moore Landris, commanding officer of the 443rd Colonial Fleet Infantry. The Trevorian raises an arm, and a rotating barrel of attachments spins, then locks into place, producing an injection mechanism filled with white fluid. He administers the syringe. The captain clutches his fractured left arm to his carapace, grimacing in pain.
Restrain yourself, Captain. The damages your body has sustained are numerous and severe.
Thick green blood oozes from microfractures in Captain Landris's chitinous exoskeleton. He stays prone.
I'll survive.
Possibly. Only if you return to the station.
Landris looks around.
The shuttle... What happened?
Corvin points to the burning wreckage of a colonial transport shuttle.
We were attacked. An explosive device attached to the fuel cylinder. The ship is destroyed. You were damaged when we evacuated.
Landris studies the dents in Corvin's frame.
Thank you, Trevorian.
It was trivial.
Station Command, this is Captain Landris. I need a medical shuttle and support detachment.
Corvin surveys their position.
Priority 0, Talat 9. Captain Landris to Station Command.
Up the block, acrid smoke blows across a smoldering crater, the epicenter of a massive explosion. The visual sensors of Corvin's biomech suit glow in the haze. Hulkari civilians, wrapped in dusty desert garments, begin to gather, keeping a wide circle around the two soldiers.
Lieutenant Kron! Come in, Kron. Landris to Commander Tighe.
We could be getting jammed. Or it's...
He removes his helmet and looks up at Corvin.
Atmospheric. Interference, particulate dust. Or it's just Grekking broken.
I have already transmitted a distress signal to the station.
The crowd of Hulkari begins to grow.
Can you understand them?
No.
Corvin's arm rotates into a pulse cannon configuration.
Perhaps they plan to attack again.
Again? No.
Landris stands.
It couldn't have been the Hulkari. At this scale, we're looking for off-worlders. With experience... Experience and equipment. The Hulkari don't have tech advanced enough.
His eyes fall on the mangled corpses of a Hulkari family, red dust settling on their carbonized bodies.
for something like this. Too much collateral damage.
He looks away. Then to Corvin.
We need to get off this planet. There's a comm relay.
Corvin catches him, steadying the wounded colonial with a single arm.
You are unfit for locomotion.
You might be right.
The crowd of Hulkari begins to cower in fear. The captain and the Trevorian look upward to the sickly sky.
There's a comforting sound.
The colonial ships fly in formation over the sun-bleached rooftops of the city. As two ships descend into the city depths, the other three assume a patrol pattern through the city's upper strata. Masked in the shadow of a stone pillar, a Zeridian watches the ships pass from the rooftop of a Hulkari burial tower. It's Adi Kanadarian. His yellow eyes narrow. He drops to the edge of the rooftop, unslinging a scoped particle rifle from his shoulder.
What reckon catastrophe?
Another figure emerges behind him. It's Dorgo.
Have patience, Adi. Everything's still going according to plan.
Yeah, barely.
Barely? The senator's dead, Adi. He's been delivered to the great beyond all.
Adi gestures rudely to his brother.
Oh, wow. The most impressively feeble target of the day has been eliminated.
Yeah, well, the colonials don't have a clue. They're out there chasing ghosts. 5 gunships? Come on, it's laughable. Our contract on this rock's nearly complete.
Adi raises the rifle, crosshairs trained on Corvin, then on Captain Landris.
Yeah? We'll see.
He dials in the scope.
Well, if the pilot is as competent as you and Vadran seem to think he is, then it won't be a problem.
Adi shoots his brother a sidelong glance.
Why don't you just focus on killing that captain? Then you let me worry about the rest.
Dorgo watches his brother, his eyes narrow. Two shuttles descend before Landris and Corvin, their engines blowing clouds of dust and sand into the air. Lieutenant Serenus Kron leaps to the planet's surface, pulse rifle in claw. A half dozen colonial soldiers jump from the shuttle behind him, and a half dozen more from the shuttle beyond, picking up tight defensive formations.
Secure a perimeter!
Yes, sir.
The sun reflects a sick light off the black visor of his helmet as he surveys the plaza.
Clear! Clear! Sector secure.
He approaches the wounded captain.
Captain Landris, sir. We're here to extract you.
The captain's face falls.
Lieutenant Kron.
Kron shoulders his rifle and braces Landris up.
Medical team is waiting for you back on the station.
They struggle their way back to the shuttle.
We deployed a search and rescue operation when station command lost contact with you and the others.
On whose authority?
Kron glances at Corvin.
On mine, sir. As acting station commander,
As the acting station commander, your post was on the station, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
The peace treaty is in enough jeopardy as it is.
A particle bolt slings past and blasts through Captain Landris. Kron's helmet is splattered with green blood.
Captain Landris. Dalarev. Dredgen. Dredgen! Hey,
from within the shuttle cabin, Flight Officer Dredgen emerges to help pull the critically wounded captain aboard.
I need a wound sealant.
Here. This is a temporary fix.
Call it in, Dalarev.
Yes, sir. CO Dalarev to station command. The captain is secured, but...
On the rooftop, Adi grins.
Dredgen, get Captain Landris back to the station.
Yes, sir. Get him strapped in.
Kron grabs his rifle and jumps down from the ship. Another particle blast pierces Corvin's leg. The shuttle hatch slides shut, and the engines shift into drive as the ship rises back into the air, disappearing over the city. Kron's helmet betrays nothing as he and Corbin take up defensive positions behind rubble. He wipes the blood from his visor, leaving a green smear.
Lieutenant Kron to all points. Captain Landris is secured. We're taking fire in the central plaza. I need aerial support. Converge on my position.
Orders confirmed, Lieutenant.
Colonial soldiers take cover behind whatever wreckage they can find. Corbin studies the rooftops, hydraulic fluid leaking from his mechanized leg.
Are you picking anything up?
A glint of light in the distance.
Yes.
Corbin steps out of cover. Pulse blasts rip through the air and impact wildly on the rooftop's edge. Adi hunkers calmly behind a pillar as pulse fire blasts apart his cover. He pulls a small trigger device from his dusty coat. Several automated turrets engage along the rooftops overlooking the courtyard. They zero in on the colonial soldiers. Kron runs desperately between cover. A particle bolt spears through a partially collapsed wall, shredding the soldier on the other side.
Greg! Well, take out those guns, Corbin! Kron to station command!
Aboard the command deck of the Colonial Space Station, Ilona and the crew monitor a complex array of holographic readouts.
I'm here, Kron.
Ilona, we've made hostile contact. Serious off-world tech.
I know. I'm watching on the sensors here, but there isn't much else I can do.
How many hostiles are we looking at?
We've got sensors showing two non-conforming biosignatures that are most likely Ceridians. And we've got 5, 6, 7 remote autocannons. I've already got Ryder working on disabling and tracing their command signal, but it could take a while. Aerial support is another 400 microx out. Kron, I recommend disengaging until they arrive at your position.
A colonial soldier drops in front of Kron. Then another.
Stand by, station command.
Corbin turns and obliterates a turret off of a rooftop.
Go!
He breaks away at a sprint.
You two, on me! Let's go!
Two soldiers rally to Kron's side as he navigates the war zone. The soldiers slip into a side alley. A figure lurks along the walkways above them. Suddenly, from above, a figure drops down. It's Dorgo.
Contact!
Dorgo runs the other soldier through with his blade and throws Kron into the wall with his tail. Kron's rifle is knocked away.
How many colonials have died on Adari today? There even any left on that station of yours?
Kron dives for his rifle, but the Zeridian is upon him, throttling the colonial officer with his tail. Kron grabs him by the tail and swings him hard against the wall. Dorgo collapses in a daze. Kron struggles to his feet. Green blood weeps from a severe knife wound in his side. Dorgo stands slowly, brandishing his twin daggers.
None of you drones seem to understand how outmatched you are here.
He levels his knife at Kron's visor.
The job was for your captain. I really don't mind settling for you.
Kron covertly pulls a small device from his belt.
You talk too much.
Kron throws down the gravity charge.
turrets eliminated, Lieutenant. Snipers on the move. We're tracking.
Kron staggers to his feet and raises his rifle.
Drowk.
That was very clever, Lieutenant. But desperate.
Something darts past him. He spins and fires. He drops to a knee, clutching his side.
Let's not drag this out.
Dorgo leaps from the dust and grabs Kron from behind, pressing a knife against his throat. With minimal effort, it starts to carve into his exoskeleton.
Agree. I have a schedule for you.
A shot from a pulse pistol clips Dorgo's shoulder. Kron grabs the knife from his hand and spins, driving it deep into Dorgo's belly and slashing it across his throat. They both collapse in agonizing pain. Kron clutches his claws to his bleeding side. A colonial boot appears by Kron's head.
Oh, Lieutenant, good work.
Commander Tige.
Can you stand?
I can try.
Do.
Tige stalks to Dorgo's side. The Ceridian clutches at his throat. Tige presses his boot to Dorgo's throat.
You'll need to keep a little more pressure on that bounty hunter.
Kron looks up at Tige, then at Dorgo, who writhes in agony.
Sir, we should find out who hired him. Take him into custody.
And you think we can trust a single thing that he tells us?
He wouldn't be talking to us, sir.
Tige nods.
Well, Kron, I'm impressed. You learned a lot in the academy. You'll be a good captain someday.
The Ceridian goes limp. Kron stares at Tige.
But the Academy doesn't understand the frontier anymore.
Tige picks up one of Dorgo's knives.
The colonial authority doesn't exist here unless we enforce it.
He hands the knife to Kron, who accepts it reluctantly.
If it's not a protected species, you're probably better off killing it. You understand, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
Tige extends a claw to Kron.
Come on, Lieutenant. He wasn't working alone.
He pulls Kron to his feet. A sleek ship punches through a column of black smoke, leaving swirling eddies in its wake. It's the Berenian, flying over the smoldering ruins of Bissan. Osborne watches the city pass through the ship's forward windows with furrowed brows.
Berenni and the Adi, I just passed over the extraction site. You're not there. Adi, if you're down there, say something. I'm up on...
Osborne!
Adi, come in, Adi.
Osborne! Walk onto my thing and get me the fuck out of here!
The computer doesn't work that quick, Adi. What the hell happened down here? Where the hell are you?
Adi Kanadarian bounds over the uneven rooftops of Bissan on all six limbs.
You got a big roll on the target. Fire!
The Berenian flies ahead of the reptilian alien, skimming low over the city's rooftops.
Adi, where are you?
Upper rooftops. Leaving the temple district.
Temple? Hang on.
I'm on your tail!
Yeah, sure you are. Stay put, Adi. I'm gonna come around to you.
Adi ducks behind a support pillar and unslings the particle rifle from his back. Adi peeks around the corner. He spots Corbin, accompanied by a squad of colonial soldiers.
What about Dorgo?
Just hurry, Osborne.
In the Berenian, Osborne glances at the atmospheric fuel gauge. 10%.
Stand by.
The Berenian pulls a tight 180-degree maneuver over the city. Its atmospheric engines flare up. On a narrow street below, Lieutenant Kron and Commander Tighe load into a shuttle. They watch the Berenian pass overhead.
Get us into the air and follow that ship.
The stone towers of Bissan whip past as the Berenian flies effortlessly over the city. It winds its way around and through the dense city infrastructure. A colonial gunship follows in hot pursuit. Osborne's cybernetic eye analyzes a frantic number of holographic readouts.
Unidentified vessel, by authority of the Colonial Queen, you are ordered to land immediately. Failure to comply will be met with force.
Osborne switches on the ship's targeting computer. Behind him, the Colonial gunship's cannons come online, decoupling from their fixed positions along the wings. They track the Berenian. Seen from the cockpit, Osborne maneuvers the Berenian to view a large plume of black smoke belching from the depths of a blown-out city district.
Shit.
A screen reads, "Warning, target lock." Osborne glances at the atmospheric fuel gauge, 7%. He pushes forward on the throttle. Seen through the windshield of the Colonial gunship, the Berenian slips into the cloud of smoke.
AS-31 to Commander Tighe. We are in weapons range of the target.
The gunship punches through the other side of the black cloud and slows to a hover.
Where the crack does that ship go?
AS-31 status report.
From high above, the Berenian's targeting computer locks onto the Colonial ship through the smoke cloud. The Berenian explodes out of the smoke. Blaster cannon fire rips through the gunship. The Berenian swoops low, dipping into the city. In the cockpit, Osborne checks the fuel gauge. 4%. He pushes forward on the throttle. Adi watches as the Berenian weaves its way through the city, eluding the Colonial ships. He glances back at the advancing squad. Across the rooftop, Corvin charges another shot.
Surrender! Or be destroyed!
Adi turns and runs. Osborne squints as debris splashes across the forward windshield. He pulls the air brakes. The Berenian drops behind the two pursuing ships.
Okay, Adi, I'm coming in hot. You better be ready to quack and move.
Adi leaps across the rooftops toward the Berenian. Pulse blast rips into the rooftop under his feet. A second blast tears apart the Berenian's atmospheric engine. Noxious smoke billows from the ship's exhaust. Adi helplessly watches the ship crash into the city. He turns to see Corvin standing over him.
Surrender. Or be destroyed.
The Berenian crashes to the ground. A Colonial gunship flies in overhead. Lieutenant Kron, bearing a medical patch on his side, drops to the planet's surface. Commander Tighe jumps down beside him, pistol in claw.
Stay alert, Lieutenant.
The ramp drops. Osborne steps to the top of the ramp. Tighe frowns.
That's impossible.
With his hands raised, Osborne limps down the ramp. Kron lowers his rifle.
You're human.
Yeah.
Starring Sean Moran, Jill Baumgartner, Ben Waldmans, Colton Kidd, Nathaniel Hailu, Max Robertson, Mark Stelter, Miles Ledbetter, Aurelio Aguirre, and Gabriel Alvarez. Written and produced by Gabriel Alvarez.